Hey everyone, I want to take a moment to talk to you about your face. Yeah, I said it. Your face. So there's this new skincare for men called Tiege Hanley. Let me tell you what, guys. Since I wear a lot of hats in the line of work that I'm in, it actually dries out my forehead. Now, the one thing I used to do is actually go and use a lot of the lotion that my wife keeps around the house. It smelled like girlies, apricots, you know, stuff like that. Now I don't have to. She's even noticed that my face looks and feels a lot better. And you can't go wrong there, can you? So I use the level 3 skincare system. But if you don't know where to start, level 1 will give you all the basics you need. A face wash, an exfoliating scrub, an AM and PM moisturizers. So this is what I want you to do. Go click on the link in the show notes and grab the insane discount that they've set up for you for the DFS Army.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch Bold Calls Edition for February 27th, 2019. And I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy, joining me from a long, long, long vacation. Mr. Bear, what's up, brother?
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Oh, my God. It's good to be back. Trying to get back into the swing of things. You had the live final. I had a vacation. When I came back, stuff from the house decided to try to fall and kill me and my wife. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, life happens and we have to make sure that we take into consideration everything that else that we got to do. So it became a juggling act between the two of us trying to get back on the swing of things, but we're back and we're going to try to get back into a routine.
Indeed.
So man, this is a good day to be back too. 11 games on the slate. It is a nice Wednesday. I am excited and nervous about this slate tonight. Because it's for me right now, it's all depending on news. Like normal 11 game slates are.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to.
So, you know, it's just one of those instances where, like, we're still waiting on a couple bits of news. But, like, for the most part, overall, it's not... It's pretty straightforward, except for the fact that we have to worry about some of the things in the late games. So those are the ones that I'm kind of worried about. You know, with the and we'll go over it with the Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, being there in LA. So, it's gonna be fun though. I'm excited, man. I really am.
Yeah, same here.
So, anything you want to touch on real quick before we get started?
Anything I want to touch on? Yeah, I mean, first of all, it was a phenomenal experience at the live finals, defend the live finals. My first one there. You know, I think given that I was my first one there, I think a lot of what I was trying to do was play a little safer than I normally do. It's I'm a tournament player. I don't do, you know, heavy chalk across the board. I don't do safe all the time. I typically like to play guys that others don't want to play and hopes that they go off. And, you know, looking at my initial, you know, thought process for lineups, I looked back and, you know, I would have crushed first place by 25. Like, I wanted to play Kyrie, and nobody played Kyrie. I wanted to run it back with Lauri Markkanen. Nobody played Lauri Markkanen. I played Buddy Hield. Me and one other guy played Buddy.
I told you to do that.
Well, I was
not
like,
that
I was,
you yeah. needed my help doing it, but
like, it started off with, I don't see how I don't lock in Buddy. And your response is lock. I mean, it
was, yeah,
there's like no when, way I wasn't going to play Buddy. Right?
Like when I call somebody a lock, then you just don't even question it. Just lock it. So it was, yeah, I mean, I really, really, really wanted to be out there. Unfortunately, because of the family vacation, you know, and not qualifying, and then disaster happening in the household, there was just no way I could fly out there, you know, just to be supportive. So congrats both to you and Luce, man. We've got another qualifier that we're all three chasing, going to be chasing pretty hard, the fantasy qualifier.
And I was 5 points away from it.
Yeah, you almost hit. It is, was it last night or was it 2 nights ago?
2 nights ago.
Good. So
5 points off. But yeah, we're back at it, and you know, the plan is to get there again. The plan is to have more than one seat to this one. So that's the goal. We're definitely dialed in. We're locked and loaded. I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be on the pod. I'm happy to be helping our members out again. So let's dive in.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I've got some hot takes. Some hot takes coming out today. So let's get going here. Point guard position. For those of you that are new, I know we've had a lot of new members. Let me give you a quick breakdown and rundown of how we do the podcast, okay? There's two ways you can catch the show. One of them is on Twitch, live stream. The second way will be after the actual live version goes out. It will go out on like iTunes and, you know, various podcast sites. You can also get a audio version only that will be uploaded to YouTube, and you can find everything by just searching for DFS Army. So that's two ways. One, we use FanDuel position eligibility because there's not multi-positionals. We do cover both FanDuel and DraftKings pricing, but mainly we use a lot of the FanDuel eligibility just because of the fact that they are only single eligible. So after that quick breakdown and rundown, let's start at the point guard position. We start off with Kyrie Irving, who put up a stinker last night. Luckily, I didn't have a ton of him, but I felt like... you know, and a couple of our members have already said this today. You know, I watched during the early game. I didn't watch the early game. Early games last night. I just watched the Thunder last night. You know, but during the early games, I watched Uncle Drew. And, of course, he lays the stinker. And so I kind of feel like, you know, against Portland, more of a playoff-type atmosphere. He is going to channel his Uncle Drew. Now, my question to you, Bear, is this. Is there a rule stating he cannot start the game with his jersey untucked? Because if that's the case, if he can start the game with it untucked, then I'm all in. I'll lock him in.
Yeah.
A little bit of humor, but.
I think right now the Celtics are kind of a mess. I mean, this continues, man, they're going to be outside of the playoff race. That's how crazy of a mess it is.
Nah, there's so, I don't see it.
Like, I didn't everybody say they're not going to make the playoffs, right? I'm just saying they're in a mess, and you can't argue that they're in a mess right now. So yeah. they're a mess. So, for me right now, I kind of want to avoid them. I don't hate playing Kyrie. At this point, I just. At that price, it feels super high risk. Like he's 9,800. Like that's like approaching stud territory. And certainly he's reached stud numbers, but it's probably a no for me.
Even against Portland, like, yes. And there's, is it just because of the price? Like, if he was 93, would you?
If it was 93, I wouldn't be, you know, saying no as much.
Okay.
I would like it a little bit more. I don't like him at the 10K range.
Okay. So it's more of a pricing thing in this option for you, or at least on FanDuel.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm looking at this price range. I'm looking at the upper price range for point guards. And I see a guy that I'm going to have in every single lineup. And he's less expensive than Kyrie.
Okay.
And that's, to me, is going to be Steph Curry. And before you jump down my throat.
Why would I do that?
Here's why. Well, because I think the stigma is, you know, you can't play point guards versus the Heat. And for the season, you're probably right.
I'll clarify that with this, okay? If he's going to be chalk, like, and on an 11-game slate, what I consider chalk is like 30 to 35%.
It's not going to be that.
I know, but that's why I'm going to let you go. But when we talk about not playing guards against the Heat, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're not elite point guards, like a Russell Westbrook, like a Steph Curry. You know, they're not that type of point guard. And the fact that a lot of times, because of the Heat and who they are, they end up being chalkier. Does that make sense?
Kind of. There's a couple things there's a couple of reasons why I want to play Steph. The first one is I've looked over the last couple of weeks, and point guards have been really, really lighting up the Heat more than they have in quite a while. That's the first thing that intrigues me. Second thing that intrigues me is there's no Boogie tonight for the Warriors. So that means less forcing the ball down low. They don't have that post player they do with Boogie now. So that means ball movement on the perimeter more. That means more shots for Steph. That means more assists for Steph. That means more ball handling, more penetration for Steph. That means all that kind of stuff. So for me, this just makes Steph an elite play for me.
Okay. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I agree with you 98%. Okay. The thing I'm worried about is Kevin Durant. Because Justice Winslow is a capable defender with his length. Now, the question I have is Dragic going to be able to play enough that it's – I mean, because he hasn't played more than 22 minutes in the two games. He played 15, then he played 22. Okay. Is Dragic going to play enough for Steph to be able to take advantage of that situation? Or is it going to be more of the 20-minute range, and then Steph is going to – and Dragic's going to be a lot on Clay – and Steph's going to end up seeing a lot of Justice Winslow. That's my only concern with Steph tonight, is seeing Winslow for the vast majority of the game.
So the reality is KD's also going to have Jay Rich on him. Now, we know KD can score on any matchup, no question about it. But it's not like either of them have an easier matchup versus the other. The reason why – so I'm going to agree with Tony here, Tony Medina here, how, you know, what Phoenix just did to Miami. But remember, that was also without Winslow. So that does change things. Right. Now, is Winslow confirmed back or no?
As far as I knew, he was. Thought he was still questionable. Oh, no, he's questionable. I'm sorry.
Okay. So now if Winslow sits, don't think twice. Just run, play Steph, and don't worry about it. But I'm still going to play Steph, frankly. And I think as far as –
Justice, you know, Winslow's probable. That's why I was
– Yeah. Well, if he's probable, then I'm assuming he's going to play. Right. But still, even then, they're still going to want to incorporate Dragic and get him back in. Because Dragic is the team's starting point guard. I mean, make no mistake about it. That's what he does. So
– Right.
You know, is he going to play 30 minutes? No, he's not. He actually said, I think it was yesterday, that he admitted, he's like, I'm not ready for starters minutes yet. I'm not there yet.
Right.
You got to get your win back. This is NBA. This is not a pickup game where you can kind of take a few possessions off. You take a half a possession off, coach sits you. This is, you know, a little bit different.
Especially it being Coach Spoelstra. Now, I do think that he has a little bit more leniency with Dragić coming back from injury, but it's not like he doesn't have a capable, you know, it's not like Justice Winslow is incapable of running the offense. We've seen the Heat actually play very, very well with him initiating. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, I agree with you 98% of it. That worries me that they might, that if Justice Winslow does play and they stick him on Curry, that it might cap his ceiling a little bit, and that's the only concern there. I agree with you. I think it's Steph over Kyrie, at least on FanDuel. DraftKings, they're both the same price, and it's a little bit harder there. I think what I'm going to end up doing, playing both sites, since I'm playing both sites tonight, I'm gonna have some exposure to both, but on each site. But I'm gonna have the majority of my Curry exposure on FanDuel and the majority of my Kyrie exposure on DraftKings.
Makes sense.
So just because of the pricing difference on Kyrie between FanDuel and DraftKings. So let's talk about Damian Lillard going against Kyrie and the Boston Celtics. I'm not a big guards against, kind of like guards against Miami. I'm not a really big guards against Boston guy. Yeah. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, they do a very good job of hiding Kyrie's inability to stay in front of defenders. Not saying that Kyrie is a horrible defender, because he's been a lot better this year than he has in years past, but I don't know. This is an extended road trip for the Blazers. I believe this is what their last five have been on the road. Last three have been on the road: Brooklyn, Philly, Cleveland. You know, this is I'm probably out on the backcourt for the Blazers.
Yeah, no, I am too. Just to add something though, I think the only place I ever attack the Boston guards is a dominant point guard when Kyrie is playing.
Yeah, a ball dominant point
guard. Right. Which is what staff. And Damian is not too far off from that.
Right. No, he's not.
But, you know, at a 9K,
it makes it tough, especially on an 11 game slate.
Yeah, it makes it tough. There's another guy here who has been on an absolute tear.
Go ahead and talk about him.
Rookie, and I'm kind of glad that Trae Young went to Atlanta versus Dallas, because I think in Atlanta, so he was going to struggle. I mean, the way his game, the way he plays the game, he was going to struggle early on. He needed to adjust and adapt to the NBA game. He wasn't there yet. He needed a good half a season to get there, and he got there less than half a season. And now we're seeing, you know, double digit assists. We're seeing him shoot from basically anywhere. We're seeing him score against some of the elite point guards. They're still scoring on him too. His defense is not quite there yet. But he's really not taking, he's not backing down from anyone, any game, any defender. And I think he's priced pretty reasonably, considering, you know, I like him a little bit less versus Tyus. Tyus is a significantly better defender than, let's say, Jeff Teague or Derrick Rose. But not enough for me to not want to play him. So I definitely like a lot of Trae Young here. I got asked about Chris Paul earlier.
Okay, so let me add to the Trae Young analysis here. We've always raved about his court vision. His ability to pass and get assists to establish that floor has, I mean, you go look at his assist numbers, he's one of the leading he's one of the league leaders in assists per game in the NBA, and he's doing it as a rookie. His ability to get off screens now compared to what it was at the beginning of the season, like you said, has elevated his scoring and his assist ability. And he's able to score in the paint. Now, like you said, with Tyus Jones, it, like with a lot of rookies and a lot of ball dominant point guards, they're going to turn the ball over. If both Teague and, well, if Teague is out, okay, and I think he's questionable, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if Teague is out, I love a ping pong of Trae Young, Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
Like, because I know that I'm going to get, I would say, probably at least two steals from Tyus. I'm going to get those turnovers from Trae anyways, so I'm not really worried about that.
Right.
But I'm going to be able to get the scoring and the assist from both of them as well. Trae Young, in my opinion, he's one step away from being a 9K player.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, that's how good he has been since mid-January.
I'm surprised he's not already.
Yeah, I mean, he's had, I think, one... He had that little stretch where it was against Washington, Toronto, Charlotte, right there about the trade deadline. But like the dude's amazing.
He is amazing. And I think it's one of those two where he's like, because there was a lot of talk about how much the Hawks messed up and not taking Luka. And look, I mean, they're not the same kind of player.
No, they're not.
So it's really difficult.
But I mean, they'll always be tied together.
They're always going to be, yeah. You got a guy that has the size to play power forward, who's a point guard over there in Dallas, and Luka, who's just – he's just very special. Yeah. So it's hard to compare. But the Hawks didn't do so bad. I mean
Trae Young's 19 years old.
Right.
So
is Luka.
Right? No, I get that. But Luka's also been playing professional ball for a while. Overseas. I mean, Trae Young came, like, I know the dude's been out of Norman, Oklahoma before, but the dude, like, literally has never played anywhere other than Norman, Oklahoma for a lot of serious basketball, like, he went to school there for high school, 1 year at OU, and, like, it takes some time to adjust for rookies. They come out, and maybe they come out, what's the word? They come out and they're just like, they don't grasp the situation. Like, they just come out and ball, and then they hit that rookie wall. And now you're starting to see them kind of, a lot of these guys kind of turn the corner. Marvin Bagley's one of them. You know, Luka Doncic did it a little bit sooner. Trae Young's another one of them. A lot of these guys are starting to turn the wall and kind of assert themselves a little bit more than what they were at the beginning of the season or mid-December.
Bagley's balling.
Oh, my gosh, dude. We'll talk about him here in a little bit. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead.
There's not much more I like really in this range. The only maybe is Mike Conley. We do know that Chris Dunn is back. Doesn't really concern when it comes to Conley. Initially, I was a little bit concerned that they're going to limit Conley's minutes, but he's seen over 30 every game.
Yeah. Yeah. They're giving him carte blanche, basically. Even though he's probably not going to be there next year, they're saying, okay, we're going to let, because of who you are and what you've meant to this organization, they're doing it right.
Yeah.
We're going to let you go out with a bang and continue to play your minutes. So. And that's good because, you know, that was one of the big things coming into the season after last year was, is he going to be able to stay healthy? And I think as long as he's healthy, then he's going to play. Let's talk about a couple of these guys. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Milwaukee's actually really, really good against point guards. Do you still have any interest in De'Aaron Fox?
Not today. I don't.
No. Okay. I've got some interest in some other options there, but it's definitely not De'Aaron Fox. Ricky Rubio, Eric Bledsoe, Darren Collison, and Tomas Saransky. This is my mid-tier range right here.
Yeah.
You might be able to entice me in some Elfrid Payton as well.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are going to be mixed in and out of my lineups with Trae Young and Steph Curry on FanDuel.
Yeah, it's crazy that I so much like Ricky Rubio tonight. I don't
think it's crazy.
I don't usually do, but tonight I do. And I think, you know, he's going to have a combination of Gilgis and probably Lou Williams on him. Most of the, you know, Beverly's going to focus on Donovan Mitchell. So, you know, I don't imagine, you know, Garrett Temple being on Rubio either. So for me, it's going to be probably Rubio at the top of that list you just mentioned. I obviously do like Alfred Payton, who's $800 cheaper. And then for me, if Teague sits, it's just going to be – I'm just going to go with Tyus Jones. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, this is – those guys are all kind of, you know, in the option as, you know, being kind of evenly split. And I'm talking about, you know, Rubio, Bledsoe, Collison, and Satoransky with Alfred Payton in there as well. As long as Teague is playing. Now, if Teague is playing, then I do have a little bit of interest in him, depending on if there's a minutes restriction or not.
Yeah.
But if he's out, then it's Tyus Jones, and the other ones become minimal exposures in my lineups.
Right.
Unfortunately. Right. So.
Yeah, it's the way it is.
All right, let's talk about I know you're coaching FanDuel today, so I know there's a guy down there kind of a little bit in the below 6K range that I'm not going to talk about, so you can save after we do some research and we get some clarification.
All right.
First day back, I'm putting a bear special on you.
Yeah, so I
really No. Don't talk about them. I'm saying you're going to save it for our VIPs. I'm just saying, like, I'm giving you, like, I'm making you do it on your first day back.
I don't coach a day without it. I don't coach a day without it.
Scared me. I was like, no. Okay. Let's talk about shooting guards here. James Harden is obviously the top option. I don't want to say he's the top guy that you should be playing, but he's James Harden. There doesn't need to be a lot of analysis. He can go for 7. No matter if Chris Paul's in the lineup or not in the lineup.
Yeah. It's still too much to pay.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if 12K is too much.
If I'm paying 12K tonight, I prefer playing LeBron or Giannis.
Oh, now, yes, absolutely.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, if I'm going to play that price, it's going to be for one of those guys.
Yes, I do. I do agree with you on that option, but I don't think 12K is an unreasonable price to pay for Harden.
That's
what I was kind of getting at. All right, let's look at Bradley Beal here. ADVP says no. What say you?
It's a tough price to pay also. I mean, obviously, I like the matchup. You know, the ADVP, it doesn't necessarily factor in the fact that there is a change with LeVert now being at the shooting guard. Whereas prior to that, it was, I think, Harris was playing the 2, and then they had Graham playing the 3.
How many games has LeVert been back?
3, maybe. 4, maybe. I don't know. Not too many.
Okay, so for those that don't know, I'm not a big he's been back 1, 2, 3, 6. I'm not a big season-long stat guy.
Yeah.
So ADVP is not for the whole freaking season. Sorry for those of you that like the regression talks. We're going to argue a lot during MLB. but ADVP is for the last 30 days. Now, we did have a 6-day break in there, so it actually bleeds into January a little bit. But it's the last 30 days that NBA games were played. So
I look at the last 2 weeks sometimes. So when I'm doing research, I agree and I'm looking at spots, I look at a week, I look at 2 weeks. The 2 week haul is they're just above neutral.
Right.
So it's not red. It's not green. It's white. Right. But it's like the higher starting to get green section of white. And a lot of that is Caris LeVert getting comfortable with his body. Again, you know, getting familiar, you know, getting back in game shape and trusting his body again to not, you know, fall on him, etc. And so that's a big part of it. So I'm listen, as far as the you know, defense is concerned, I'm not concerned at all. It's more along the lines that he's almost 10K on FanDuel, which is kind of rough, but at the same time, he's going to see as many minutes as he can possibly handle in an up-tempo game where, you know, his team is implied to score 116 points. So I don't hate it.
I think what – because of the fact that there's 11 games and because of the fact that, you know, everybody still blindly kind of likes to target Brooklyn, I think I'm going to take the power fade on this if he becomes chalk. And like I said, I want to clarify, on an 11-game slate, I consider chalk like 30 to 35%. A lot of times the more expensive – but I think a lot of people are going to fade Harden to go to Bradley Beal or Luka Doncic so they can pay up for LeBron or Giannis. Like, that's kind of how people are going to play today. And, I mean, I love the mid-range in this
– Me too.
At this position here.
Me too.
And I think that's just the way that I'm going to kind of play it.
So can we just get to who our favorite shooting guards are?
Please. Oh, and that includes an overpriced D'Angelo Russell, by the way.
I don't mind 9K for D'Angelo.
Right? I don't mind it, but it's scary with LeVert and Harris
It can be any one of those guys. Exactly. Yes. That is the fear.
Have some exposure, but definitely please don't make him a part of your core.
So I'm finding myself wanting more and more exposure to Utah Clippers.
Let's explain why.
Let's just be frank. Both teams don't play defense like they used to. The Clippers have one since they gave up Bradley. Really lockdown solid defender, and that is Patrick Beverley.
And he can't guard four positions.
He can't guard four positions.
Well, he can, just not at the same
time. Well, yeah. The Jazz have two solid defenders in Gobert and Joe Ingles. Rubio is not a poor defender, but he's not anyone we should be concerned with. And so it opens up a lot of spots on the court. Beverley is the reason why I don't want to play Mitchell at 9K. But Lou Williams is just popping off of the page for me. And all of my own models that I'm looking at, all of my own, you know, matchups that I'm looking at, I see Lou Williams playing 30 minutes. I see them needing him to score. I see them not having anyone to guard him. They're not going to put Joe Ingles on him. And if they do, he'll blow by him. So who's going to guard him? Mitchell? Rubio? This is the kind of game where Lou is going to need to put up a 50 for them to stay close to the game. And I think that's something he can do.
And make no mistake about it, the Clippers are not in the business of tanking. Steve Ballmer did come out, I think it was the last week, and said and told the team basically, guys, come on. We didn't make these moves that we made in order to tank and fall to the bottom of the Western Conference to hopefully maybe get a good pick. Because when you ship out guys like Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, you might think that, but then you're not going to go in and get you're not going to go get the guys that you went and got too.
Right.
If you're trying to tank, you're just going to let the ship out be the ship out and play a bunch of young guys. They want to make the playoffs. So now, will they? That's kind of tough. But they want at least.
I think they can. Will they? I don't know. Nobody knows. But with Sacramento, and who knows if the Lakers ever wake up. And I mean, there's a lot of ifs there. But they're in position to. So, I mean, they're not going to give up, like you said. And I think that game might end up being the highest scoring game of the night, to be honest with you. So
bold,
you know,
call.
Yeah. So I like Lou Williams a lot. I think you're probably going to get like a 5% Lou Williams here, most likely, just given the other talent. So for me, I'm going to go with LeVert and Lou.
Okay. I like LeVert to a point. And the reason I say that is I have more interest in LeVert than I do in D'Angelo Russell. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact of, one, obviously his price. He has played up to 29 minutes since he's been back, so I'm not really kind of worried about the minutes. If this game is close, he's going to play 30. He's still under 7K, so I don't need him. He's only 6,400, so I don't need him to play 33.
Right.
But I do need him to play at least 28, 27, 28, which I think he'll gladly do.
That. Yeah, look at that.
And I love him as a pivot off of Andrew Wiggins, who I think is going to be freaking Chalk City.
Why?
Wiggins?
Yeah, why?
Because they're playing Atlanta?
Ah. Yeah, I don't know. I think you and I both just don't really like to play him that much. And
No. I agree. Like, I don't like to play him that much. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to be chalk. We've seen opponents of Atlanta carry a lot of ownership in some strange and peculiar places at times.
Yeah.
That
is true.
So that's where I'm kind of gauging that right now. Plus, he's cheaper than Clay. He's cheaper than Buddy. He's cheaper than Middleton. So that's kind of why I'm projecting Wiggins to be, you know, kind of up there in the ownership. Yeah. But I do like LeVert. Now, I don't think LeVert's going to be 5% owned. Like, don't mistake my words on me pivoting from Wiggins to LeVert. But pivoting or not playing Wiggins allows me to play LeVert as the chalkier shooting guard and mix and match in other spots. So I'll have some exposure to Clay. Buddy is as close to a core type play right now as I can get without
Buddy?
Him. Yes, without him being a core.
Hmm.
Because I still think there's a lot of profit potential there.
Yeah.
And this should be I think that this is going to be a closer game. I don't think that this is going to be a blowout by the Bucks. You know, he's coming off of a quote unquote dud against the Timberwolves, where he only put up 20 or 31 fantasy points in 28 minutes. But a lot of it had to do with the five turnovers and his 3-point shot wasn't really falling. That doesn't happen a lot with this year's Buddy Hield. So,
yeah.
Do you have
one more guy that I want to talk about?
Okay, go ahead.
And this team has struggled on their road trip. This team is finally back home. This team needs to get a win, and that is the San Antonio Spurs. I think I might have a little bit DeRozan interest coming back and playing at home.
I personally can't do it.
Well, a lot of people aren't going to. They're going to look at how poor he's been here the last handful of games. But again, they were on a really long road trip.
No. It was the rodeo series.
The rodeo trip.
And I agree with that. But the pricing is where I kind of pull back. Like yours and your pricing with Kyrie. That's kind of how I feel with DeRozan right now.
Like, I mean, he's pretty much been there all year.
I get that. No, he got below 8K. He was like 7,800 two or three games ago.
But coming back home versus Detroit, I mean, I don't hate it. I think he can be one of those also single digit owned plays that can definitely have himself a game.
Oh, he'll be single digits. And yeah. I definitely think he's capable of having a game. I don't know how much I'm going to have. I love this mid-tier just way too much.
Yeah, I do too. Can we talk a little bit about Jeremy Lamb?
Oh, God.
I mean, the reality of it is you can't play him right now.
No, you can't.
Because
it sucks.
It does suck, yeah, because he was really a producer for us. But he's moved to the second unit now. There were whispers of him starting again. That was because maybe Marvin Williams wasn't going to play, but Marvin Williams is playing now. So he moves back to the second unit. You're talking about 6K for a guy that's going to play 25, 26 minutes tops. Now, he's shown that he can come in and produce in those minutes, but yes. You can't really rely on that, man. No. So I wouldn't.
Now, I can do it on DraftKings at 53. As like a low owned, well, sure. I don't know how low owned he's going to be after putting up a 45, but that had a lot to do with Marvin Williams being out. It sucks because like, I don't understand the reasoning behind the move. Like okay. Let me stop that. I kind of do. It's to get Nick Batum back at the two But it doesn't make a lot of sense from, like, if I'm Jeremy Lamb, I'm a little pissed because I've been playing well. Now, I might serve a better team aspect off the bench, but you're not just playing me. You're not just giving me my normal minutes. I'm just not, quote unquote, starting. You're also cutting my minutes, too. You know, the game before last, he only played 19 minutes. So that's where, if I'm Jeremy Lamb, I would have an issue because it's just. But yeah, I agree. You can't play him on FanDuel right now. And it sucks. It really, yeah, it really does. So
I wanted to make sure everyone knows that. There's another guy here that is starting to come into his role with his new team. He plays in the high 20s. You know, we still have to see if potentially Avery Bradley, I think he's probable, so he'll play. But if he doesn't, then this guy becomes another lock, and that's going to be DeLon Wright.
Yes.
He's got a lot of game, guys. He's got game. He can put the ball in the hole. He can facilitate. He can shoot the three ball. He can do a lot. So, you know, he's around that Jeremy Lamb on DK price. He's 5,400 on FanDuel. Not a steal by any stretch. You know, but versus the Bulls, I can certainly see him putting up at least 5x. So, and then if we get anything about Avery Bradley not playing, then lock him in.
Yeah. Now, one thing I will say is if Terry Rozier and Brad Wanamaker are both out, then I'll have some interest in Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. So, because one of them is going to have to run the backup point guard. And they're probably going to get a little bit of a minute boost, not necessarily because of Brad Wanamaker being out, but if both of them are out, that means that Wanamaker is not going to step into the Terry Rozier role, and therefore, like, they're both going to get a couple extra minutes, and so I'll have some interest there, but you know, other than that, you're right. It's Dylan Wright. 5,400. I prefer him a lot more over a guy like Luke Kennard, as of right now, over guys like Brown and Smart. You know, I don't mind Avery Bradley if he's going to be in, but who knows? And then the only guy I have interest in on FanDuel as a drop, it's either going to be right here. It's either going to be Justin Holiday, Alan Crabb, or Wayne Ellington.
Yeah.
So, and that's just drops. So I don't have a lot of interest, or I don't have a lot of interest in them on FanDuel.
Yeah, same here.
So, on DraftKings. So, let's go to a small forward here. LeBron and Giannis. Giannis was questionable earlier in the day. Looks like he is going to play. He's still got a probable tag with right knee soreness, but if it's probable, I'm not really worried about it. You're not going to know before lock.
He's going to play, guys. They were just resting him last game.
Because it was a national TV game, they had to give him an injury designation. There's going to be a lot of questions about it. I'm not worried about Giannis sitting. Mm-hmm. So let the rest of the industry be cautious. With Giannis, but both Giannis and LeBron are in prime smash spots, and there's not really a lot of analysis needed there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I know that I can get like a single digit Giannis, then I'm playing him over LeBron. Like,
oh yeah,
because I don't think LeBron goes under 30%. I mean,
not versus the Pelicans. If you can only play one, then in my opinion, you should go for the guy with the lower ownerships.
Yeah.
Unless you just love the rest of your lineup and you can't get that extra $100 on FanDuel to get to Giannis. So, right. On DraftKings, they're $100 difference as well, but it's the other way. So, I mean, just play him. Kevin Durant, 9,600. We've already kind of talked about him a little bit. I do think that he has the ability to have a good game. It's not a great matchup.
Right.
But And it's also going to depend on the availability of Justice Winslow. If Winslow is in, then I have a little bit more interest in Kevin Durant because he's going to be guarding Curry more. And I'll pull back on Curry just a tad. But if Winslow's out, then I'm taking the guy with the better matchup, and that's Curry every single day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with Brandon Ingram? He decided to actually show up and start playing aggressive basketball.
He's arrived, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, let's back up the Brinks truck a little bit and hold our horses, pump the brakes, because he might be playing a nice streak.
It's been about five games where he's averaging significantly good numbers. I think the bottom line here is that he's finally realizing how to play off of LeBron James, whereas yes. prior to that, it was a mess. It was yes. just a disaster. Whereas now they're starting to understand. They're starting to see, you know, the way to play off of him. Now, if the rest of the team can do it, it'll be great. But for now, it's basically just been him. And Kuzma has taken a little bit of an offensive hit because of it. If we can get all three of those guys to show up, then it would be tough to beat this team. But unfortunately, it's been only those two up until now.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the defensive end, too. You know, you guys are bleeding points still. Not quite as much to the centers as you were, but to the backcourt. And I've got to be honest, I haven't watched a ton of Lakers games to know if it's just a defensive matchup issue or if it's just not communicating or what. You'd be able to tell me that. But before we go ahead and stamp the LeBron or the Ingram has arrived tag on him, I want to see him do it for at least 2 weeks. This is a good stretch. It's a good start.
It's been six games. So you're talking about 9 days. So you're talking about another couple days and it's 2 weeks. I mean, it's not like it's not like it's been a game or two.
I'm talking like
six consecutive games where the guy is putting up pretty much a double-double. Over 55% shooting, hitting his three-point shot, 12, 13 rebounds. I mean, this is what we waited to see. Obviously, can it regress?
Whoa. 12, 13 rebounds. The dude has one double-digit rebound game in like since the beginning. Since the beginning of January.
I'll open it. Fine. If you make me open it, I will.
Against Memphis, 6. Against New Orleans, 5. 13 against Houston. Atlanta, 6. Philly, 4. Boston, 2.
Right. So Houston, it was the 27 and 13.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So not as many rebounds as I'd like for him to have, but he certainly is filling it up.
Yeah.
He's like, also getting blocks and steals. He's getting his 3-4 assists. He's getting his 20 plus points.
I'm not arguing with.
I think the most impressive part for me is
it was just the rebounding thing. Oh, the shooting percentage is amazing.
That's like, where he's – I mean, because prior to that, he's gotten the shots that just haven't gone in.
Now, if he could just shoot like that from the free throw line, we'd be all good. Or at least you would be. It has improved, but he's – I mean, it has improved. But it's not where he needs to be.
The issue becomes the second unit, and that's where the team falls apart. They bring in Rondo. They bring in KCP. They bring in Lance. They bring in – and there's just not – they're not producing. They're not defending. They're not distributing. They're not doing anything. That second unit is really the Achilles heel right now.
One for all and all for one.
It's been rough.
So, all right. Let's talk about Otto Porter here against Memphis. Memphis kind of bleeds points to the small forward. I really do like him today. I don't think that a lot of people are going to play him, mainly because of the dud of a game that he put up after leaving and the fact that he's questionable. If we get word about him before lock, I love him as a low owned tournament play today. He's not the best one. I still like Brandon Ingram a little bit more. Gallinari has some interest there. Of course you've got, Trevor Ariza and Josh Richardson that are both, well, not Trevor Ariza, but Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow. Like overall, Otto Porter for me is gonna change how I view this position.
Yeah, I still like Nicholas Batum. I mean, I think he's still in play.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet because he was below 6K.
So those are all guys that are on the radar. I think, you know, one of the interesting tournament moves here is to try to fit in Giannis and LeBron in the lineup. I might have some interest in giving that a try. We have enough value to where you could possibly do that. I mean, there's all kinds of strategies here, but yeah, I think we're pretty much in the same range there. We definitely need to wait and see. I mean, it looks like Winslow's probable, so Winslow probably will play. For me, the difference between Winslow and Jay Rich is not that big. The only difference is the fact that Durant can, you know, essentially be matchup proof. I mean, Steph can too. The way the team moves the ball and the way the team runs their offensive sets, I mean, it gets their guys open. So
yeah.
I'm not as concerned with one-on-one here.
I'm just worried about Miami slowing down the pace a little bit. Not that pace has ever mattered to the Warriors, you know, when you're talking like a difference between Sacramento or OKC and the Miami Heat, like the possessions for the Warriors are going to go down tonight because Miami knows that the only way that they can actually, unless they just come out shooting like lights out, like they're going to have to slow down the pace in order to try to keep this game close. So
yeah,
that's the only, I know they can try. They probably will. It just probably won't work. Yeah. That's the only concern I have, like, about those about the Warriors. I think they're all in play. You know, Clay, Draymond, Looney. I think they're all in play. She's got to be careful with, you know, pairing them together, how you kind of put them together. So, I got a sneaky play for you.
Okay.
Kenrick Williams. I don't know. He might not be that sneaky.
Yeah, I mean, the problem I have there is his kind of decline in production. I think a lot of that is because you're seeing more Jrue Holiday now than we thought we would. You're seeing a lot more.
Yeah, what's with that?
Elfrid Payton. You're starting to see a lot more Diallo. You're starting to see a lot more Frank Jackson and Ian Clark is now starting to get minutes, and so you're seeing a lot of that. And so I mean, it doesn't make sense because Williams is one of those guys that they want to see, right? They want to feature him so they see what he can do. But the production, just because some of those guys returning, has just declined.
Yeah, and it's not a cash play. It's not a core play at all. He's just a guy that I think is going to be kind of forgot about you know, when talking about the guys that are going to be targets in that late game.
Yeah.
So, anything down here at the bottom? I mean, Taurean Prince is kind of questionable. He either shows up. I mean, Damari Carroll, he can produce without having to score the basketball. I don't mind him. Maybe down here.
I've got an interesting one.
Go ahead.
Jeff Green.
Ooh, was not thinking him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people aren't thinking him. But I'm looking at the opponent, and I'm looking at the matchup, and I'm thinking this guy's going to play 30-plus minutes next to Bobby Portis.
Yeah, he plays the four, guys. He doesn't play the three. I know he's listed as a small forward, and his ADVP sucks, but he plays the four.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why we have interest.
I'm interested in that. And then another guy that I'm interested in that's really cheap here is going to be this newly – new starter is Miles Bridges from the Hornets. Not the greatest of matchups. I think he's a good drop score candidate on FanDuel for you with upside. You know, it's one of those games where, like, I'm a little bit concerned that he gets phased out of this game because of the pace. So, yeah, that's something that I'm just, you know, a little bit concerned with. But
yeah, you can also look at Davis Pertans and Bruno Caboclo as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, let's move on to power forwards. We got about 10 minutes left on the show here. First off, you can't play Anthony Davis. Don't even. I know, especially with the strife between L.A. and New Orleans, just don't even. Don't even ask. Julius Randle?
Oh, dude.
I knew I'd get it out of you. That right there.
going to be hard not to play him for me.
El Negro Loco, zero Crowder love. Crowder's interesting. Not somebody I'm going to eat. And the reason I'm asking and backtracking is he's asked a couple times. Not somebody I've really – I like him in a lot of pace-up games. And this one is very, very, very interesting with Crowder. I'm not quite sure on how I'm going to play the Crowder favors guys yet, because I think there's like a reason to play them both and a reason to fade them both. So.
Okay, so let's talk about it real quick. It's not very hard, guys. And Eddie has been asking about favors since the sun went up this morning. It's very simple. The Clippers are a small team. They start off with Zubats. Zubats plays 18 minutes. They sit Zubats. They play Montrezl Harrell at the five. Montrezl is a small ball five. So now you're going to have Gobert and Montrezl matched up. There's nobody else that favors can be out there on the court to guard for that long. He's not going to guard Gallinari. He's not. He can't. Gallinari will destroy him on the perimeter. So Favors is going to play 24 minutes doing some backup five work for Gobert. That's about it. So you can't play Favors. He's not going to play a lot of minutes. Let go of Favors. Just drop him. The sim does not take into consideration the fact that they're playing a smaller ball team, the fact that he's going to play less minutes. Doesn't factor that. It's a math algorithm. It takes what he normally plays. It takes what he will normally play against. That's why I think Crowder makes more sense, because then you're going to have Crowder come in the ball game, play 28 minutes to match up with the Gallinari. So this is I wouldn't even be surprised if they end up starting Crowder, to be honest. But we'll
see how they've done before in the past in these types of matchups. So
yeah, so I can see that happening. So for me, it's going to be Crowder. It's not going to be Favors.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about. Bobby Portis here. Brooklyn versus centers centers versus Brooklyn is a thing. A lot of people early on were asking about Thomas Bryant. Thomas Bryant is going to play 17 minutes, maybe 20 if you get lucky. Like, and trust me and Bear have had plenty of discussions on how much like I wish Scott Brooks would give this guy 25 to 28 minutes a game. And it's just not going to happen. Now, he did play 31 last time. That was because Bobby Portis got into foul trouble. You cannot predict foul trouble, just like you cannot predict blowouts. If you're going to play Thomas Bryant, you are going to lose 98% of the time. Bobby Portis is their five. If you want to attack center at the or Brooklyn at the five, you play Bobby Portis. I say that with conviction and confidence, and the only thing I think I can say harder is he's. If I was making a sheet today, he would be part of my core. He is going to be my highest owned power forward of the night, as of right now. Currently constructed. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree, but I wouldn't know about the highest owned. I mean, I like the play a lot. I like the bounce back spot. I like the fact that it's versus Brooklyn. I like the fact that he just put up a dud and people aren't going to be happy with him. I like all that stuff. Absolutely. I like the price on him. No, I'm good with it.
But when I say highest owned, you got to understand that I've got a lot of power forwards in my build right now. And I'm talking like I don't have a power forward over 40%.
Okay.
So that's when I talk about highest owned, like he's a part of my core because of the fact that at this position on FanDuel, he is my highest owned guy. He's the guy I'm the most confident about.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. So,
I don't hate it, by the way. I'm fine with it. I just, the way that my builds are going, I need a little bit lower of a value play in that spot.
So let's talk about some of them. Marvin Williams is going to be back. Any interest?
No.
Kelly Olynyk versus Golden State in a paced up matchup. He's priced up though.
Not versus Draymond Green. No.
Ooh, I think Draymond's going to. Looney. Never mind. Good to go. So now I'm all the way down to this 5,100 range, and there's two guys that kind of stand out on the DS here, and I want to talk a little bit about both of them. Then we'll move to centers real quick. We always, always cut centers. Don't know why. Cheick Diallo and Al-Farouq Aminu. Now, in order for either of these plays to be viable, their shot has to fall. Like, it just does. The reason why we're not talking about guys like Jason Tatum, Markieff Morris, is because of Al-Farouq Aminu, mainly Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
But I think they're both in good spots. I think they're both in good spots. I think, like, this is where you start your value options at the power forward position.
I don't know, man. I don't see how you're overlooking Dwight Powell.
I'm not.
Okay.
He's a center on FanDuel.
No.
Did they move him back?
Which is, he was a center yesterday. He's a power, or 2 days ago. He's a power forward now.
Oh my God. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I don't, look, it's great because he's a 6K power forward who's going to be freaking locked in. I mean, it's a no brainer here at 6K. He's their starter. He's their center. He's going to play 30 minutes versus the Pacers, which is not a bad team by any stretch, but I mean, it's just a phenomenal price. So it's hard for me to pass on that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's – I was trying to go value. You went 6K. I thought he was still at the center position. I completely overlooked him, so that was my fault, not yours. So, yeah, there you go. Let's talk about centers here real quick because we got about 3 minutes before we got to get out.
Okay.
Karl Anthony Towns against Atlanta. I'm not going to be playing a lot of them because of the fact that I'm going to have a lot of Giannis and LeBron. I think you can play both of them. But with Rudy Gobert at 9,700, with Clint Capella at 77, with Jared Allen at 61, I'm not going to have a lot of Karl Anthony Towns or Andre Drummond enough.
Yeah,
I think
no.
They're in great spots. I just don't like the price.
Definitely in great spots.
Not compared to the rest of the guys at the position.
Yeah, they're definitely in great spots, but I'm with you. I don't know that you can do that. So,
not unless you want to go completely opposite of what you know, and start like with Kat and LeBron, and then go from there. I mean, I can see it, but I think Kat's going to be pretty low on tonight. Who knows? He could be chalk too, but 11-2 is a little tough to pay. Joakim Noah against the Bulls, 5,700. They've got a lot of injuries there in Memphis in the front court, and I think 23 minutes might be a little bit low on the minute projection right now, but I don't know if I can do 5,700 for Joakim Noah. I'm having a hard time, and it's very, very, very difficult.
It's tough, man. It's really tough. I don't know how you can. I mean, you know, a lot of that is that bias. You know, you look at, you know, you look at he's the fact that he's Joakim Noah, and we're in 2019, right?
Yeah.
So I get that, but same time, you look at his production. You kind of put your blinders on and take the bias out of the way. Production kind of it kind of justifies it.
Oh, I'm not saying it doesn't justify it, but I need to see the minutes projection kind of go up a little bit. And the fact that Kevon Looney is now 3,500 min price and is going to play a uptick in minutes kind of has me.
Yeah. Up. You've even got Kyle O'Quinn is going to play minutes now with Sabonis out. He'll be the backup, you know? Yep. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things to like here. Yep.
So.
I'm not as interested in Jared Allen because he hasn't been playing enough minutes. I know he's super cheap, so I don't mind him at that price per se. I just don't think you have the upside with Allen anymore, with Ed Davis now kind of splitting time with him at the five. So that's going to make it a little bit tough. I might have a lit. So first of all, let me just get this out of the way. My top center of the night is Rudy Gobert. Like there's no one around the Gobert price range that I'm going to play besides Gobert. I think as I mentioned earlier, I want as much of this game as I can. And Gobert really should have a field day down there. I mean, there's nobody on that team that can stop him.
Yep.
Having said that, I've got a little bit of interest in Yusuf Nurkic. I would like for that price to be a little bit lower, but so I don't love it, but from a tournament play, I can certainly see it.
Nurk is $7,500 on DK. I'm going to have a ton of them.
Yeah.
On drafting.
See, that price I can definitely go for.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really kind of hard. You're going to see about 12 to 15 minutes from Jordan Bell. He's $3,700. Kylo Quinn's $39. Jahlil Okafor is $4K. He's going to see about 15 to 17 minutes probably. So, guys, Nurk and Noah shouldn't even be in the same conversation. They're two different prices, and it's not even that's not even a discussion.
And the only thing I will say about Noah is, you know, it didn't end too well with the Bulls.
So oh no, I agree. I know
they're playing the Bulls, and
I know
he. How do I put this? He's known to
hold a grudge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's known to, you know, come out and want to bust a team that he's not happy with.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind with Joakim Noah.
Yep. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Welcome back, Bear.
Thank you.
Let's have some fun. Bear and Luce will have their coaches' notes a little bit later on, along with, it looks like, Madness and Keg. So you've got two on DK, two on FanDuel tonight. For myself, for Mr. Bear, for the DFS Army, we gone. Have a great night.